This program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, my name is Demi Arsenault from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the December 2019 issue of Lion Magazine. We'll start with the President's message. Kindness brings warmth to the giver and to the receiver. Greetings, Lions. What is kindness? It is all the things Lions do. It is serving in our communities and beyond. But kindness is one of those words that can get overused and the real meaning sometimes becomes lost. Kindness is any act that makes life better for any living thing, even for just a moment. Isn't that what we're really doing when we serve food or donate our time? Aren't we trying to give people a moment in which they feel important? A moment in which they're not alone? Kindness can be something small, a tree planted on a city street. Or it can be grand, an entire Lions district pooling its resources to build a community center focused on gender equality education. When done right, an act of kindness also feels good to the person performing it. This is true for all acts of kindness. And it's important to remember, especially at this time of year, that donating money is also an act of kindness. By donating, you are recognizing that there are some things that are beyond your ability to immediately fix. You are saying, this is bigger than me, and I want to help. And one of the best ways to give is to your foundation, the Lions Club's International Foundation, also known as LCIF. As your international president, I want to wish all of you the bounty that comes from giving. May your acts of kindness as Lions bring you warmth this season. Sincerely, Dr. Jung Yul Choi, International President of Lions Clubs International. Next, we're going to move over to our Global Service Department, beginning in Canada. 'Twas the morning before Christmas. There's a right way to do things in Nova Scotia, Canada, on Christmas Eve day. Before the house is cleaned for company, before the last shopping is complete, the baking's begun, or the presents are quickly wrapped, you have breakfast. And you can thank the Kingston Lions for that. While their community sleeps, the Lions are at Kingston Lions Hall with the lights on, ovens hot, griddles warming up, and the smell of coffee wafting through the cold December air, because at 6 o'clock a.m. the doors will open. Pancakes, sausages, and ham. Scrambled eggs, hash browns, toast, coffee, tea, and juice await early risers at the Kingston Lions Christmas Eve breakfast. In 1993, the first year of the breakfast, 100 people were served. By 2015, attendance had grown to 1,003, served in just over 3 hours, says Lion Pat Nixon. Now they average 825 each year. Employees from local businesses beat the rush and come early, heading off to face a last day of frenzied customers. And families follow tradition and gather. At the Kingston Lions, we recognize the work we do could not be done without the generous and ongoing support of the surrounding community and businesses. And for this, we are truly grateful, says Lion Rick Hilplick. The breakfast is a way for the Kingston Lions to thank the local community for their generous support. The club tried to provide the breakfast at no charge, but generous community members would have nothing to do with it. They wanted to give money for others less fortunate, so in 2001, the Lions Breakfast became a breakfast with a free will offering that's averaging a total of about $6,000 per year. Santa and his elves always make time for a visit, but the real help outside the club comes from local scouts, community leaders, clergy, and Lions family members, all willing to serve generous portions and to wash dishes. Lions purchased the food at Sobeys, the local grocery store, and since 2015, Sobeys has partnered with Lions, subsidizing the cost of supplies. When the last people are fed at 10 o'clock a.m., cleanup begins, and usually by noon, it's lights out again in Kingston Lions Hall. 75 Kingston Lions are free to finish their own Christmas preparations or to nap. From the USA, in tune with the community. Across the city, in streets, parks, and plazas, on rooftops and in gardens, music flowed through Federal Way, Washington on the summer solstice this year. The Federal Way Lions were leading their city's Make Music Day, a one-day global celebration of the international language of music. It's particularly fitting in Federal Way, where the public school district is rated the fifth most diverse in the nation, and the public high school is the second most diverse in their state. More than 100 languages create a melody in the schools on any given day. Make Music Day was started in France in 1982 to promote the natural music makers in all of us, and it has spread to more than 100 countries and 80 U.S. cities. The purpose is to bring people together, says Lion Jan Barber, who led her club's first year to take part in the celebration. The project was intended to build harmony through the universal language of music. Federal Way has over 105 languages spoken in its schools, and so we wanted to create a fun event to celebrate diversity and culture on the first day of summer, including music, dancing, and art. The celebration reimagines cities, towns, and states as stages where every kind of musician, including young and old, amateur and professional, come out to perform, to teach, and to inspire. In Federal Way, the opening flag ceremony was presented by the Sons of the American Revolution. Lion Dan Harrington from the Auburn Noon Lions Club played a trumpet medley, and the Washington Diamonds drill team created a parade and taught bucket drumming. Federal Way Lion Galen Floy, active in the King County Council of the Blind, taught free lessons in blues harmonica, and local libraries provided activities including instrument building classes and beginning ukulele. The Federal Way Lions gave away drumsticks and harmonicas for learners of all ages. Performances and classes covered a variety of music genres, including big band, rock, choral, blues, jazz, barbershop, swing, ukulele, and more. Music builds community. We intentionally included youth, special needs children, and the nonprofit Music Mends Minds, says Barber. This was not just performances. It included participation as we taught bucket drumming, jazzercise, Eastern swing, and blues harmonica. There was even an instrument petting zoo. Plans are already underway for a repeat in 2020. And now one of our feature articles, Friendship is Blind. A young boy had just finished watching a movie about Helen Keller with his parents when his mother asked him if he knew anyone who is blind. He said, no. But you go to school with blind children, she reminded him. No, I don't, he said. We are all the same. Miami Lion Virginia Jocko loves to share this story about one of their pre-kindergarten students at the Learning Center for Children in the Miami Lighthouse for the Blind and Visually Impaired. When it comes down to it, says Jocko, that's what it's all about. We are all the same. Jocko, the president and CEO of the Lion-supported Lighthouse in Miami's Little Havana neighborhood, spearheaded the school, the country's first known toddler and pre-kindergartner program that is a 50-50 mix of sighted and visually impaired students. The Learning Center is now halfway through its third academic year and 3 years into a four-year study being conducted by the University of Miami to evaluate the impact of inclusion on the very young. The goal is for total immersion, says Jocko. For me, as a newly blind adult, I found that too often the blind only hung around with the blind, and often the sighted did not know how to interact with the blind. She hopes their school will help to change that. In these classrooms for toddlers and pre-kindergartners, Florida-certified early childhood teachers work alongside Florida-certified teachers for the visually impaired. Sighted and visually impaired children play and learn side by side with every toy, book, cubby, desk, and chair labeled in both print and braille. There's environmental print all around for children who are sighted, says Isabel Chica, director of the children's programs. Here, we have also created a braille environment. While all of the children are exposed to braille, more direct instruction in braille depends on the child, she says. Any child, sighted or visually impaired, who wants to explore Braille can, but the focus is not on teaching everyone Braille. It's on giving children what they need to be successful. We want to develop relationships early on for children, says Chica. We want the visually impaired to be able to be mainstreamed so they grow, and we want their sighted peers to work comfortably alongside them and not only have an understanding of what visually impaired means, but to know that they, the visually impaired, are just as capable. We want to level the playing field. If we're telling a story, the children can access that in Braille, in regular print, and in large print, explains Jocko. Anel Akinmendia's daughter, Mia Pena, was in the center's blind babies program at age one, and now at age three, she attends the 50-50 toddler program Monday through Friday. Mia was born blind in her right eye and with low vision in her left. The doctor recommended we visit the lighthouse, and honestly, it was life-changing, says Akinmendia. I cannot put into words how much I appreciate that this place exists or how thankful I am for what they do for our daughter. The 50-50 program, for me, that's as close to reality as you can get. That's just how real life is. Mia is not going to be in an environment of all visually impaired people forever. She is going to be in the real world with real people who are sighted. In school, Mia has made friends with both visually impaired and sighted children, and her mother expects that in a few years she will attend a Miami-Dade County public school in the neighborhood, just like her sister, Delilah Arias, who is seven. Delilah is sighted, and her parents chose to enroll her in the Center for Pre-Kindergarten on the first year it was open, not knowing she would someday have a visually impaired sister. Akinmedia says the experience has made Delilah more empathetic and understanding of the differences in people. It also opened her eyes to the fact that you can do so much even when you have a visual impairment. She is more kind, more patient with her sister, she says. She goes to the lighthouse for summer programs, and it's good because when you are mainstream, you don't see a lot of visually impaired children. According to the University of Miami, many parents report that the 50-50 component has helped their child feel comfortable in diverse social situations at school and with their families outside of school. Visually impaired children who avoided peers began enjoying their peer interaction, holding hands, and playing with others. Parents of sighted children have thanked the school for helping them raise an empathetic child. We have a society without much empathy, says Jocko. Our children score very high on empathy. The Downtown Miami Lions Club and the Rotary Club of Miami jointly founded the Miami Lighthouse for the Blind in 1930. 3 years later, the Lions Club bought a small bungalow in the Little Havana neighborhood to permanently house the lighthouse, and in 1946, the club built a large two-story addition onto the bungalow at a cost of $480,000. Over the years, further additions were built as a result of community fundraising, so that now the lighthouse occupies almost a full city block. A parking garage was also added, and in August of 2017, the Learning Center for Children opened with a matching grant of $30,000 from LCIF and another $30,000 from the Miami Lions for the construction of an inclusive playground. Next, our second feature article titled Cleanup Crew. The Camas Lions Club in Washougal, Washington, is building community partnerships with the goal of taking on unfulfilled needs in Camas and Washougal. They're starting by serving those who serve at the beloved Interfaith Treasure House. On Saturday, August 17th, Lions came together to address several yard work issues at the house and worked with Triangle Resources just down the road to cover all of the debris removal costs. The project is hoped to be the first of many, according to Lions Casey and Stephanie Odell, the husband and wife team who work as club president and membership chair, respectively. The opportunity with the Treasure House presented itself when we got a new member and Casey and I went to visit, Stephanie said. We saw all of the good work that other volunteers were doing, but they had this unmet need to do more of a labor-intensive project. And that's exactly what a lot of our membership loves to do. Beginning very soon, the club will also formally undergo a thorough community needs assessment to evaluate how the organization can best serve the community. Partnerships with cities, schools, churches, and businesses are expected to result. In following with the global tradition of Lions to serve those with the most need, the Commas Club saw the work being done by the Treasure House as just that. Since 1969, the House has worked with and for those in need of assistance and social services in Commas and Washougal. It's community helping community, and the more we can partner together, the better off our community will be, says Treasure House Director Nancy Wilson. That's just going to make an amazing difference. And then by that, then you don't have to spend that money, and you can buy food with it or you can pay a utility with it. Wilson, who recently became a member of the Camas Lions Club, explained several of the needs at the facility. Now the club is considering adopting Treasure House as an ongoing project. Treasure House currently has 4 staff members in addition to Wilson, along with 150 volunteers who contribute more than 1,000 hours a month to the organization. During the week and Saturday, Treasure House's food pantry gives out food boxes to people in need. This equates to roughly 6,500 pounds of food going into the community every month, feeding 300 to 400 families. According to the funds, the house also assists Camas and Washougal residents with rent and utility costs and provides holiday food boxes with Christmas gifts. Recently, the house began the backpack program, filling 170 bags of food for students at Camas schools. It's a great pilot project for how we put projects together, Casey said. This is right up our alley. We love doing yard work and we love cutting things down. We've got a lot of people with chainsaws. As an annual project, the Commas Lions take point on cleanup at J.D. Curry Youth Camp on the north side of La Commas Lake. With a small army of tractors and chainsaws, the group cleans the grounds, clears trails, and makes it safe for campers. At present, the Commas Lions have 28 members and meet twice a month. Commas Lions Club is going through a bit of a transformation, Stephanie said. We want to do an assessment and figure out what needs our community has that are not being met. Stephanie explained that the process of the study will likely take some time, but projects like the one at the Treasure House are opportunities to start having an impact right away and activate members who have a passion for service projects. The O'Dells also expressed a great desire to network with more businesses, schools, and nonprofits in Commas and Washougal. Triangle Resources, which does debris and recycling, offered to work with the Lions after being connected through a member. We're a community-based company, and for us to be able to have an opportunity to give back, it's a good thing, says Chris Pete of Triangle Resources. In order to be a good neighbor, a good community member, it's good to be on the plus side. Over the course of the day, the Lions crew removed hundreds of pounds of debris, entirely removing a laurel hedge, which was causing carpenter ant problems throughout the warehouse. We're always looking for ways to be in the community, what kind of community service things we can do, says Lion Sue Scott, who participated in the cleanup. Luckily, it's a really nice day for working. A lot of us have our own equipment, and with sheer numbers, you can get a lot of work done. Plus, it's a lot of fun. In addition to the hedge, the club also weed whacked, trimmed bushes, cleaned garden beds, and removed all debris, as well as pressure washing the grounds and walkways. It's what our club does, says Lion Chris Derricks. I haven't been as active as I used to be because I've been busy with kids going off to college and stuff. When I got the email, I said, I'm free, so I'm doing my part as a member of my club. And we're going to move over to our In the News department with a couple short articles. The first one is All-Woman Climbing Expedition Raises Funds for Schools. On August 6, 2019, 7 women lions from a 10-woman team reached the peak of Mount Kilimanjaro in Tanzania. They have so far raised $42,000 for their efforts, and all donations will go directly to fund a school for children in Kenya. The Kilimanjaro for Children Project, also known as Kili for Kids, was inspired by the first woman international president, Gudrun Ingvadottir. The creator and coordinator of the project, Ina Flaga, came up with the idea to prove that women can reach every summit. The team of 10 women represented Italy, England, Denmark, Russia, Poland, Kenya, Romania, Nepal, the United Arab Emirates, and Switzerland. The women pledged to climb Mount Kilimanjaro, which is 5,895 meters and is the highest mountain on the African continent, with the goal of raising $58,950, which is $1 per woman per meter climbed, to build a school for children. The women spent 6 days climbing, battling rain, ice, and altitude sickness. They hiked 11 to 13 hours each day. To say that climbing to the summit of Kilimanjaro was a really difficult experience is putting it lightly, says Armin Oganessian of the St. Petersburg Golden Pelican Lions Club in Russia. It was a challenge exceeding the limits of our imagination. But the women followed the advice of one of their experienced guides. Do not look up, but down to see what has been done so far. Always follow only the footsteps of the person standing in front of you. The summit will come soon. The school will be built at the Amrita Center, now near the capital of Nairobi, which educates orphans and the children of poor families. The goal is to expand the capacity of the center from 200 to 600 children. A fresh face to lead Arizona Lions. Isabel Tiklo, who was crowned Miss Arizona in 2018, has added a new title to her name, President. She has taken over the reins of the Chandler Lions Club in Chandler, Arizona. The longtime Lion has been volunteering with the club since she was a Leo in high school. It was like hanging out with friends for a good cause, she says. She has since graduated summa cum laude with a bachelor's degree in marketing and minors in communications and dance from Arizona State University, and she works in marketing while she pursues a master's degree in business administration. With all her free time, she now steers the active Chandler Club. With 49 members, the club has a number of projects they run throughout the year, but Tiklo's passion is for helping people with vision impairment. It's something that we don't think about every day because most of us are born with our sight, she told the Santan Sun News. I've met so many people who lost their vision later in life. Adapting to that is terrifying. It's frustrating. The solutions we can provide, whether they're prevention solutions or adaptive ones, it helps to lessen that pain. Some of Chandler's goals for her year as president are to reestablish a Leo to Lion connection through one-on-one mentoring, get more hands-on volunteering opportunities for members, and promote the iconic Chandler Lions event, Blinded by Delight, in which case community members experience what it's like to go through everyday activities with no sight. Her youth and her enthusiasm will help bring more youth into our aging Lions organization, former club president Ruth John Wick told the Santan Sun News. Club members are delighted indeed. And from our LCIF Impact Department, Sight First gives new life to people in Burkina Faso. LCIF's Sight First program has been restoring and protecting sight for almost 30 years and is now present in 102 countries. This extraordinary program develops comprehensive eye care systems, providing aid to underserved populations by developing comprehensive eye care systems. Projects include training eye care professionals and management personnel, upgrading the infrastructure of existing eye care systems, improving access to education and rehabilitation for people who are blind or visually impaired, and increasing public awareness of the importance of eye health. Through the support of LCIF, Lions, and partners, Sight First focuses on eye care challenges as simple as an uncorrective refractive error to something as complex as a bacterial infection such as trachoma. They make it possible for Lions to put a stop to avoidable blindness. Approximately 80% of global vision impairment can be prevented. As Knights of the Blind, Lions take this statistic to heart and work to improve the lives of people across the world who are in danger of losing their vision. In Burkina Faso, a 2-year sight-first project is providing eye care access in areas where eye care is unaffordable. Supported by a $110,746 U.S. dollar grant from LCIF and Sight First, Lions and a local organization, $1 Glasses, are establishing 4 clinics where patients will have their vision screened at no cost. In addition, eyeglasses will be for sale at a much lower rate than at local markets, or free for those who cannot afford it. The project, which began in 2018, is expected to screen 124,000 people and will distribute 26,400 pairs of eyeglasses. Meet some of the lives that this project has changed throughout its first year. Francois couldn't see clearly more than 10 inches or 25 centimeters ahead. Yet, the 65-year-old man left his village at 4 o'clock in the morning to travel on his motorbike 29 miles. The trip was not easy. The road was rocky and in dangerous condition. He had a few mishaps along the way and followed other motorists closely so he would know where to go. He hoped the trip would be worth it. Though Francois needed eye care badly, it was unaffordable in his village. Then one day, Francois's friend mentioned one of the new clinics helping locals who could not afford eye care. Francois made the long and arduous trek and arrived at the clinic where an optician screened his vision and determined the correct prescription for his eyeglasses. Francois was able to purchase the eyeglasses for 5,000 CFA, which is just 10 U.S. dollars. When he put them on, he smiled. He told the optician he could see everything perfectly. Francois left on his motorbike and headed home. This time, he didn't need to follow anyone. Every morning, Idrissa wakes and heads out to his bistro. His specialty is avocado sandwiches made with tomato, onions, and avocados on a fresh baguette. It is how many people in his neighborhood start their day. Idrissa loves what he does. There is just one problem, a big problem. Idrissa has very poor eyesight. Even as the owner of a successful business, the 30-year-old could not afford eyeglasses. Once involved in all aspects of his bistro, Idrissa can no longer use a motorbike to deliver sandwiches. And I'm going to have to cut that short for time, but long story short, he was able to get screened and get eyeglasses too, and his life changed entirely. He was able to start delivering sandwiches again, visiting with his customers, and growing his business. And sadly, we've run out of time for today's episode of Lion Magazine. Be sure to tune in next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. This is Demi Arsenault for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for print and visually impaired audiences. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any questions or comments, please call us at 919-832-5138. And again, that number, 919-832-5138.